Somebody's happy for the Lord Jesus today.
Amen.
Does he mean everything to you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's why we came to church. I trust that's your motive for being here is, Lord, I want to hear from you.
Amen.
I want to hear from heaven. Lord, a man can't help me, but God can.
Amen.
Amen. And God has, we know, set gifts in the church to speak to us. How many believes that this afternoon? Amen. And us ministers know that more than anybody, because how many times have I got up here, Brother Alex, could say the same thing and don't know what you're going to say, what you're going to do, and then the Lord will direct you to write down somebody's life, you know, and it's just, Lord, you're just so good, you know, and he's so worthy of praise. How many believes he's here this afternoon? You say, why do you know that, brother? Well, I feel him. I'm not going to lie there. But even if I didn't, the Word declares, if two or three would gather in my name, I will be in the midst of them. And he promised to, me and Brother Alex got to, Brother Alexander got to spread share a few words for a little bit before we prayed for the service, and you know, just to feel the Holy Spirit come while we were praying, and just breaks all the yokes up, don't it? It there's nothing you can do without Him, but with Him, all things are possible. So, if there's something on your heart, you got a need before the Lord, say, Lord, you know what's deep down in here, but Lord, I'm trusting you to speak to me and to help me today, and believe in the supernatural. That's the main thing. Don't make this a worthless gathering of people. This is coming together to be one in the Word. And I believe God has sent us that word this afternoon. So we'll have Brother Alexander come out here. Let's just sing our little chorus, It's By Faith. If you don't know it, it's pretty simple. You can figure it out here in a minute. And we'll have Brother Alex come out on this song. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. Sing it again with all your heart. It's by faith. Say, Lord, I believe it. That I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. Give Him praise this afternoon. Oh, it's by faith.
Grateful today to be here with you all. Speaking of faith, as I believe it was Jude spoke of the common salvation, the
right.
Common faith. Amen. We come from different walks of life, from different places, but we have something in common today, and it's the faith.
Yes,
not just a faith of my thinking or your thinking or our idea, but it's the faith of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
amen. The scripture
Lord,
says
amen.
that the Apostle Paul can say, it's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me.
That's right.
The
amen.
Life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Right.
And so it was His purpose, His plan, and it's His faith that is the gift to the believer today. And that's why we're gathered here. I pray for each one that's here. If you have your Bibles, I'll go ahead and open with my reading. I was going to say a couple things, but I might just go ahead and read first so I don't have you on your feet all day, even though I'll be standing. So I like to point that out a lot. If you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter 1. And really, I'd like to read the whole thing, but we'll just start in the 19th verse for the sake of time. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter here. And it says this, for it pleased the Father that in Him, speaking of Christ, in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, how many can raise their hand there?
Yeah.
And you that were sometimes alienated,
sure.
And enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. So
yes.
that's not
yes.
who you are anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It says, in the body of his flesh through death to present you. Now, there's two presentations going to take place here today. And this is kind of the idea of my text here. He's going to present you. It says, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
And unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Now, that's not what most of us do when we're suffering. Right. Paul could do it because there was a reason for his suffering. Amen. Amen. He said, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present, now he's going to present something here, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. How many can say he's working mightily in me?
Yes.
Well, you might not feel like he's working mightily in you, but Paul said he's working mightily in me for this purpose. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, we do thank you now this morning. Oh God, as we assemble ourselves together in this place, Lord, not to be seen one of another or to propagate some man's idea, but we gather together, Lord, because you said if two or three would gather together, in your name you would be in their midst. Lord, we do now look to heaven, oh God. We have an expectation that you would come and speak to us, Lord. We have a need this afternoon, oh God, to hear from you, Father. We don't desire to hear from a man. We don't desire to hear from the voice of politics. We don't desire to reason with the word or try to figure it out, but we desire revelation by the Holy Spirit to come and speak to the hearts and the minds of the people. Lord, if there's people here today in bondage, maybe they're in the bondage of sin. Maybe they're going through a battle in their mind that they can't even tell their closest friend about. Maybe they're going through something today and they don't know how to go through or how they're going to make it another day. Lord, I believe you can give the answer today. I believe you are the answer today to every situation and every need and every trial that we would go through. You are the answer, oh God. May you come now and may you break the bondage that would hold people down. May you break the yokes, Lord. I believe as the prophet Isaiah said that the yoke is broken by the anointing. May your spirit come and set captives free. May it deliver those that are in bondage. May it bind up the brokenhearted. May it give healing to those that are sick. May it give sight to the blind, we pray, oh God. May you touch the needs of your people. And in all these things, may we glorify you. For to you be all the praise and glory and honor. We thank you, Father. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. God bless you all. I'd like to speak this morning on what the Apostle Paul talks about here in verse 28. And I'd like to speak on present every man perfect. Amen. Present every man perfect. You know, this whole scripture is wonderful. And Brother Bramley preaches the sermon, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. It's about 4 hours long. But it's amazing what he talks about here. He talks about this purpose of God. And what I want you to realize today as we read this, Christ had a purpose and God had a purpose in Christ, and that purpose is you.
Amen.
Amen. The purpose wasn't to try to win some sort of an election this year or to try and hit the lottery or try to get a bigger building or something like that. His purpose was you. Amen.
Right,
you were that purpose. His purpose was hidden in you. Amen. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so there's a hope there. There is a purpose there. And that purpose is in the believer today. Amen.
Yes,
and so everything that God has done, we read through the scriptures. We can read about Abraham and we can read about Moses and we can read about Isaiah. And we can read about all these men and women of God and all that God has done and what God is trying to convey to us through every scripture and every thought and every idea. What God is trying to present to us is this idea that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. These men, they wandered in the desert, and they were afflicted, and they were in prison, and they were beaten, and they were cast to lions. They did all these things for one purpose, and it was God's purpose. Amen. God had a purpose in this people. Amen. God purposed that He was going to take a people out of the face of the earth and redeem them. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I'm thankful today because the Apostle Paul, he's talking about this God. He comes through the body of His Son Jesus to reconcile you. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That you might be holy.
Yes,
and unblameable.
That's right.
Is that right? Unreprovable in His sight.
Yes.
Now, He didn't say you might look that way to me. Amen. You might not look that way to you.
Yes.
You might look in the mirror. You might look at other people and you say, well, there ain't nothing to that person. They're the last person I would call unreprovable.
Come on now.
I'm the last person I would think is unblameable or holy. Amen. But yet in His sight, that's how He sees the believer. Amen. In His sight, that's what you are represented in. Amen. He paid for it, as it says, through the body of His flesh, through
glory
His death. Amen.
Yes.
So look, this wasn't just an idea that He had, but He paid for it. He was so earnest about this purpose. God was so set on this purpose that He paid for it with the life of His own Son. Amen? Hallelujah. And Paul says, now for this purpose, I've been made a minister. I was praying about this, and I was talking to Brother Andy. You know, I was trying to think, what do I minister on? And I had a couple sermons. When you travel and preach, you try to have a couple different sermons ready. And I was trying to think, which one of these should I preach on, or what should I preach about? And just nothing was coming to me from either of them. And I was praying, and I was waiting on the Lord. And it was getting to be late last night, and I knew time was changing. Pressure's on. Like, what am I going to preach on? And it's times like that. Sometimes you sit there and you feel like an orphan child, and you feel like God's 100 miles away, and you say, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? I can't give these people something. I can't figure something out.
That's it.
To just throw something out to these people. But I need God to come. And I began to think about this, and I began to think about ministry and why do we do what we do?
Sure. Yes.
And it was when I was doing this and I was looking at this scripture and it came to me. This is why Paul did what he did.
Amen.
God, Paul saw a group of people that were paid for. They were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. They were God's own children, God's sons, God's daughters. And Paul had a purpose. He looked at the same group of people and he said, my purpose is now to present you to Christ. I want to present you as perfect. Amen. I want to present you as perfect people. Is that right?
Amen.
To present every man perfect. Now, this idea of perfection, I want to define this biblically real quick before we go on, because people have ideas about what perfect is. This is not talking about a sinless perfection. Our Lord Jesus Himself, He talks about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, this word perfect, as we see here, different places in the Greek, it's a Greek word teleos. And it means this, it means something that is finished or of full age, of a maturity.
Right.
And actually, I like this last definition. It says, wanting nothing necessary to completeness.
Whoa,
hallelujah. Yes. In other words, Paul's going
to
present a people. And he's going
to
present a people unto Christ. And he says, these people, they don't lack for anything.
Hallelujah.
And if a man comes, if a minister comes, if a philosopher comes and says that you don't have what you need, God has left something off. God has not supplied you with what you need. Paul says, that's not what this is talking about. A perfect man, a child, somebody that's coming to maturity, they realize God has given them what they need. When Jesus Christ went up to Calvary and He died on the cross and He cried out, it is finished, He didn't leave anything off there. Amen. He doesn't have to go further the work of redemption by doing something else. Amen. And let me say this, you don't have to further the work of redemption by doing something else. Amen. So many people, they're trying to do something for redemption. They're trying to further redemption. But look, He doesn't need your help. That's why He said it's finished. Amen. But if you can just accept that what He did was good enough, that it's full and it's complete and it's enough. Amen.
Amen.
He can present a people unto Christ that are perfect.
Yes,
not because they're perfect, not a sinless perfection, but they've come to a maturity. They realize that what God has done for them, they're not out here playing under the law and being babies and having their own ideas about things, but they realize who they are in Christ. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, he talked about this in Ephesians chapter 3, and he talks about it in context with the ministry again here. Now, what did I just do here? I totally lost my notes. Well, we're going to have to shut down the service because I lost it here. I'll just turn there real quick. Ephesians chapter 3, or chapter 4, rather. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 4. He says here, verse 10, he says, "He that descended is the same that ascended far up above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect," a mature man, amen, "under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Amen. So in other words, what Paul is trying to say here, the thought he's trying to convey, and I can just take my time here for a few moments this morning, what he's trying to convey here is God has fashioned a people, amen? Sure. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, He has a people that are holy. He has a people that are unblameable, but yet these people don't recognize just who they are in Christ, amen? They look at their natural ability, they look at their natural failure, they look at their natural inability, they look at all these things, they look at what kind of a family they come out of, they look what kind of a job they have, they look at what kind of talents they have, and they look at that and say, "Well, I don't measure up to these things." Well, God's not looking at that, amen? He's not looking at your flesh, but He's looking at the sacrifice, because the sacrifice is what makes you holy, amen? And so Paul's taking a group of people who are made something in Christ. They have an identity in Christ. He's saying, "This is what God says about you."
Amen.
The world says many things about you.
Sure.
Your family might say many things about you, but this is what God says about you.
Amen.
And if you can take what God has said about you, maybe you don't even know. That's why God sends you the Apostle Paul. That's why God sends you a pastor. That's why He sends you a teacher. Here comes a man, and it's not the man, but the Holy Spirit in that man is going to come to you, and He's going to tell you exactly what God said about you.
Sure. Amen.
Amen. He's going to tell you things about you you didn't know about yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. And there, I tell you what, it's nice because a lot of people tell you things about yourself you might not know, but He's come to tell you some good things about yourself that you didn't know. Amen. Amen. He's come to tell you, you know what, you're holy. You're accepted in the Beloved. Is that right? You're chosen before the foundation of the world. Look, you might not have known that. They didn't tell you that in the hospital. They didn't tell you that in high school. But you were chosen before the foundation of the world. That's why the Apostle Paul, going back in Ephesians 1, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." Amen. He hath. That's past tense. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So many people are chasing after blessings. And God has said, "He hath blessed you." With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us.
Amen.
Oh my, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Now look, now that might not, it's funny to me, some people that's not very popular with.
Yeah.
Amen, they don't like you preaching like that, but I'm thinking, well, I'm okay with it because He's talking about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Look, we always want to talk about how we did the choosing.
Oh,
we did the choosing, and we came to God, and we accepted Jesus, and we this, and we that. And here's the Apostle Paul in Romans 9 talking about Esau and Jacob. "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Well, that don't make for a good sermon. Somebody, "I thought you loved everybody." Amen. "Esau have I hated." And the Bible said He did it before they were being born, having done no works. Look, their works didn't save him.
Amen.
Jacob's works didn't make God love him. Amen. But God had a purpose, that the purpose of election might stand. God purposed, "I love Jacob." Look, I was just reading to the kids about Jacob the other day. You know, I tell you what, Jacob, he was a deceiver. He was a shyster. He was a mama's boy. Is that right? "Daddy liked Esau. Oh, he makes me that good old grub. He goes hunting for me. He's a good son. He goes hunting with me, and I get my bow out, and he's going to fix me something up." Oh, but here's little mama's boy Jacob, a little deceiver dressing up. But there's one thing about Jacob. I love it, amen, because I kind of feel like Jacob sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, "I ain't worthy for the blessing. I ain't worthy for the inheritance." But there's one thing about Jacob. You could say he wanted the birthright.
That's right.
He wanted the blessing. He wanted the covenant. He didn't care what it took.
Amen.
He wanted to be blessed, amen.
Yes.
Now here's Esau, a natural man, a good man, taking care of daddy. His works were great. He looked fine. Is that right? Oh, but he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage.
Right.
The Bible says that he was a profane person because of it.
Right.
Now here's Esau, daddy's boy, taking care of daddy, the firstborn, rising up to slay his brother. Well, you didn't care about when you sold it for a mess of pottage. Why do you care about it so much now? Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh my, but I love Jacob. This is despicable. Look, if you ever want to go buy a used car, don't do it from Jacob, amen? Is that right? That's the kind of person Jacob was. But I tell you what, there's one thing, you might not have liked Jacob as a person. Amen. You might not have got along with him when he came to church, amen? But there's one thing about Jacob. He didn't despise the birthright. God loved him, amen? God chose him, and that's all that mattered, amen? Hallelujah. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Look, that wasn't my idea. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it's still not my idea half the time. I don't look at me and think that half the time when I get up. Amen. But you have to take the mind of Christ. Amen. And say, you know what? God has chosen me because he loves me. And he's not just chosen me, but he's chosen me holy and unblameable. Is that right? I'm accepted. Well, praise the Lord. Some people are happy about that. Some of you still, I guess some people like being in sin. Some people like being in condemnation. Well, it's true. They sit there and they'll whip themselves and beat themselves and do penance. And we're more spiritual. Well, you didn't do nothing for God. Look how spiritual I am. I paid the price. I've suffered for my sins. Oh, my. Look at these great works I've done. Look at this penance I've done. I'm more spiritual than you. It's just another Esau. Is that right? Sit there all self-satisfied in their own righteousness because, well, I go to church. Well, I do this. I've never done this in my life. I never went out in the world. I never went and sinned at all. I'm glad I'm not like this guy over here. Some of us get like the prodigal son, or the prodigal son's older brother. Is that right? We sit there, well, how can God accept this person? Look at how well I've served God my whole life. Well, I'm a real Christian. I'm a real saint. You ain't nothing in the sight of God except what God says you are. Amen. And so many people get a self-satisfied attitude. Well, I've got degrees. Well, I've served God for 50 years. Well, I've done this and I've done that. But I thank God today there's some people that are real happy, not about what they've done. Look, I can't point to a lot of things I'm real happy about that I've done, but I can point to something that he's done. And I'm real happy about that. Amen. Because look, hallelujah. Your works ain't going to save you, and they never did. Amen. They never will. Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, my. He said, having predestinated us. Woo, hallelujah. Well, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, you rip it out of your Bible if you want. I'm leaving it right in there. Amen. I don't need that. I'm a sweat everywhere anyway. Having predestinated us, not just predestinated you, but unto something. Amen. Look, there's people that are foreordained to condemnation.
That's right.
Is that right? Pharaoh was foreordained to condemnation. But God has predestinated you unto something. Not just predestinated like it's just an idea, but he's predestinated you unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Hallelujah. This is his idea. Amen. I tell you what. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. This idea of adoption. You know, I was talking to my wife here recently, and we got somebody in the family, and they're wanting to foster children, this and that. And when we talk about adoption nowadays, we have a modern idea of what adoption is, and it's different than the biblical idea of adoption. I find it kind of ironic because the modern idea of adoption is what a lot of churches preach like.
That's right.
Well, you're nobody, you're not related to this, and you have nothing to do with me, but I'm going to adopt you. God's going to adopt you into his family and make you a part of his family. And that's their idea of adoption, that you are somebody else's child and God's just going to take you in. But that's not what the biblical idea of adoption is. The biblical idea of adoption, you can see it in different scriptures and stuff, and I'll read here in just a minute one of them. But the biblical idea of adoption is this, that when you're born, you're a child, and you're a child in the household. Is that right? And that child, he's under a certain parentage. He has a certain household. But that child, when he's a child, like, I don't know how many of y'all got children, but quite a few of us here, amen? Your children don't necessarily act the way you want them to. and it happens a lot. And actually, when they grow up, a lot of times they still don't do it, amen? But your children don't act the way you want them to represent the house, amen? So what you do is you take this child. Now, they're your child, amen?
That's right.
But you take this child under biblical adoption and you begin to place them under a tutor. And this tutor begins to teach them, this is what daddy wants you to do. And this is how you're expected to run your father's business. And when you grow up, you're going to take over your father's business. And this is how he wants it run. And this is how he wants you to conduct yourself. And he sets an expectation for you. Amen. And so this idea of biblical adoption, the child is raised a certain way. And the tutor, he'll come back and he'll make a report. Your son's doing real good. He's a chip off the old block. He's doing just like what daddy said. Yes, amen. He's being responsible with his time. He's being responsible with his education, all these other things. Is that right? Now, if the child comes back and they're disobedient, the tutor's got to come back and go, look, I'm sorry. I don't want to have to be the one to tell you this, but I got to be honest with you. Your son's not listening very well.
Right.
Your daughter's not doing a very good job. Is that right?
Sure.
Amen. And he makes a report to the father, and the father will look at the report and he'll look at the age. And what biblical adoption refers to is when this child comes to a certain age. Once they are at a certain age, once they're at a mature age, like we're talking about at the beginning, once they've come to a perfection, a maturity, amen.
Yes.
Now this man can come and he can present this child unto the father and say, I've groomed your child. I've taught him properly. He's been educated. He's been taught in all your ways. He's ready to take over. He's ready to rule now with you. Is that right? He's ready to rule in your kingdom. He's ready to take part in your business. Amen. And this child's name, now this child is going to be, he's going to have the same authority.
Yes.
Amen. He's going to be able to make decisions now. Now think about this. There was a child of God one time. His name was Adam. And he was an amateur God in the earth. Is that right?
Amen.
And God placed his son on the earth. And he told this son, now look, I want you to go. And I want you to name every beast and every animal. Whatsoever you call it, that's what it's going to be.
Amen.
Here's a little son of God acting in the stead of God. God has given him dominion, the Bible says,
Amen.
Over the earth. Is that right? And so now he is exercising dominion. He's making decisions in his father's business, and his father's honoring his decisions because he has placed a son there. Amen?
Amen.
It was one thing to be a child, but to have a son come to age where you could place him in a position. Now this son is able to speak and conduct himself and do the father's business. Amen?
Amen.
Now this is what Paul's talking about. Look, you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
you've been paid for, but now I want to present every one of you unto God as a mature adult that I can say, you know what? They look just like their Lord. They act just like their Lord. They've searched the scriptures and they've taken the scriptures and they've allowed the Holy Spirit to live through them. And now there's a measure of confidence that God can say, I know that they're going to do what I say. Amen. I know they're going to be obedient to the word. Now I'm not talking about not making mistakes. Amen. I'm not talking about not making mistakes. I'm talking about somebody that can submit themselves. And God knows that they're going to submit themselves in obedience. Amen. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 4, he says this in verse 1 through 7. He says, I say this now, an heir, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from a servant. Amen. When the little prince is out there playing with the other kids, you can't tell him apart from anybody else. Is that right? He looks just like the other kids. He gets dirty like the other kids. He gets muddy like the other kids. He plays with the other kids. Is that right? He doesn't look anything different than a servant, though he be Lord of all.
That's right.
Yes, now, I want you to think about that. This heir, even though he's a little child, he doesn't even know what an inheritance is. He doesn't even know what this has to do with anything. And yet, he's going to get it all.
That's right.
He's going to inherit it all. Is that right?
That's
one
right.
day, it's all going to be his, and he has no idea.
That's right.
Oh, my. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. It says, even so we, when we were children, we were under the bondage of the elements of this world. It says, but when the fullness of time was come,
Amen.
God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, you weren't going to find it under the law.
That's right.
Amen. But he was going to take you from that. He was going to bring you to a place where sons could receive adoption.
Yes,
amen?
Amen.
Where a man could walk up to the gate beautiful and see a man laying there crippled in his feet. And this man could cry out to Peter and John and say, well, silver, can you give me something? I'm poor. I'm a beggar. I ain't got nothing. Can you give me some silver? Can you give me some gold?
Sure.
And these men could say, look, we don't got no gold
Amen.
Or silver.
Right.
I guess they weren't very successful preachers.
Hallelujah.
They said, silver and gold have none, but we do have something.
Amen.
Such as I have.
Amen.
Look, they had to have it to give it. Amen.
Yes.
I'm talking about a son or daughter of God that realized they have an inheritance, and that inheritance, it's not gold, it's not silver, it's eternal life. And if their inheritance is eternal life, everything that has that is in that eternal life is theirs as an heir. Amen. If you need healing today, you have eternal life, and that's able to give you your healing. Oh, I've got complexes. I've got depression. I've got mind battles. There's power in the inheritance of eternal life today to set you free from that. Amen. Oh, I have needs today. There's an abundance in eternal life. Amen. There's more than you need in eternal life. Hallelujah. Sons and daughters of God, now they're in a position, they recognize we're not just servants.
Right.
We're not just children playing in the yard. We are sons.
Yes.
And see, the Bible's making this distinction between just being a child, being born from somebody's lineage, and being a son or a daughter is to be somebody of age or mature, to present somebody perfect. In other words, they're grown up.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have to baby them as Christians. Amen. That's what Paul said. Look, that's why he sent these ministries to perfect the saints. He says that you be not children, tossed to and fro. Well, this preacher said I'm not saved, and this preacher said this, and this guy says this, and this guy has this doctrine. I believe this way. Well, now I believe this way. Amen. That's children. Amen. But God wants sons and daughters who they've heard from the tutor. They can hear from the Holy Spirit. Amen. They have no need of some man teaching, but the Holy Spirit itself teaches them. Amen. They have a witness inside of them, and that witness will teach them how to conduct themselves as sons and daughters of God. It will teach them what is their authority. It will teach them what is their position in Christ. Amen. He says this. He said, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth the Son, made of woman under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He says this, and because ye are sons.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit of His Son. Now think about this. He didn't say, well, because God sent forth His Spirit, now you're sons.
That's right.
It's not what He said. He says, because you are sons,
yes,
because you are the children of God, He's going to send forth His Spirit. It's a spirit of adoption, and that Spirit is whereby you cry, Abba, Father. It's a voice. Amen. When you had no voice, God is giving you a voice by His Spirit that says, I'm a son of God.
Amen.
I'm a daughter of God.
Amen.
That's why Paul says in the next verse, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Do you realize that's why Paul calls the Holy Spirit? He calls it a seal. Is that right?
That's right.
You're sealed in the day of your redemption. It's not just an evidence of salvation. It's an eternal evidence. Amen.
Amen.
You didn't just become a son, but you were a son, and God sealed you as a son because He predestinated you in the mind of God. You were always a son of God. Is that right? God didn't look at you and say, well, there's a sinner. Maybe I can clean him up. Amen. But when God saw you before the foundation of the world, according to His purpose, He saw a son of God. Now, He knew there'd come a fall. He knew there'd come trials. But He knew there was a provision that was made. He predestinated His only begotten Son. He predestined Him to come at the appointed time. Amen. Is that right? Jesus was predestinated to come at a certain time. A predestinated son. Is that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My, oh my. When I think about this, I find this interesting because I want to read a quote to you here. Brother Bram says this in 1965. He says, the God is rich in mercy. He says this. He says, now, if you've got eternal life tonight, he says, if we have eternal life, then we always were, because there's only one form of eternal life. He said, we always were. And that's the reason, because we are a part of God.
Yes.
And God's the only thing that's eternal. He says, like as Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham, it was allotted to his great-grandson, Levi, who was yet in the loins of Abraham. He paid tithes, for he was yet in the loins when he met Melchizedek. He says, I want to speak on that in the other place here this morning. He says, but notice, way back, God knew this boy coming down. He knowed all things. All right? Are you familiar with the scripture in the book of Hebrews that Levi, he paid tithes in Abraham? And the Bible says it was accounted to him for righteousness. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now look. This wasn't just a type or a shadow. It says it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
When Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, not just for Abraham,
right,
but for his seed after him. Is that right? The promise was made not just to Abraham, but to his seed. Amen? That's why the Bible says we have the faith of our father Abraham. Is that right? So in other words, hallelujah. So in other words, when Abraham believed, you believed in Abraham. Because it's the faith of Abraham, which is the faith of God. Because God gave, look, there wasn't something special about Abraham in the land of Ur. Here he is 7 years old, probably worshiping idols and doing whatever else in the land of Ur. But God speaks to him one day. Now, why Abraham out of all the other men? I don't know, but God knows why. He chose Abraham and said, this man, he's a nobody in this place. Nobody knows who he is, but I'm going to take him out. And I'm going to make him the father of nations. He doesn't even have a child, but I'm going to make him a father of nations. And in him, all nations shall be blessed. Oh, hallelujah. My, think about that. That's you, amen. Look, he didn't just say the Hebrews would be blessed. He said all nations, even this nation, all the nations of the world, they might reject God. They might cast off the gospel. They might not want nothing to do with God, but there's a people. Out of every tongue, and out of every kindred, and out of every nation, the Bible says there's a people that will serve God. Is that right? Amen. Hallelujah. He says this now. He says, now you, he says, we are a part of God. You always was. He says, you don't remember because you were an attribute of God. You were in his thinking. Your very name, it was ever on the book of life. It was put there before the foundation of the world. He knew what you were. Now he says that, now he makes a statement here. He says this, I'm not only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out, that we might get away from fear, this fear and scare. Amen? In other words, we're not talking about predestination, and we're not talking about being sons of God because we're trying to make you scared or confuse you. It's to get you away from fear. It's to get you away from being scared. Exactly. He says, you don't know who you are. You're not going to be, but now you are the sons of God. Amen. See, you always were was the sons of God. Is that right? That's why I said earlier, predestination don't bother me because I'm predestinated. Amen. Yes. Amen. It shouldn't make you scared. It should take away the fear, because when you realize you never had nothing to do with it, when you realize it wasn't your idea, but it was his idea and his purpose, and he did it anyway. Amen. Despite your life of sin, despite your mistakes, despite your inability, he chose you anyway. When you realize that he chose you and you didn't do the choosing, but he chose you first, that should take all the fear away. Because you realize if he chose me in the first place, he's not going to unchoose me later. Look, God don't make mistakes. You might have made a mistake in doing something like that, but God don't make mistakes. Is that right?
Amen.
My, oh my. I was thinking about it this morning. The Bible says this, and I'm sure I mentioned it here before, but the book of Hebrews says that he that sanctifieth and he that are sanctified are one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Amen. Hey, man, you think about that? Because I could look at my life. Brother James, I could look at my life and I could probably find 100 reasons just off the top of my head this afternoon. I could find 100 reasons for him to be ashamed of me. I could look at my life and I could look at what I did yesterday. I could look at my last week and I could look at my life and think, he's got this reason to be ashamed of me and he's got this reason to be ashamed of me. And when I look at it all and when you tally it up, I'll probably be pretty sad. Amen?
Sure, amen.
I guess we got a couple sinners in here. Some of you all quietly looking like I'm stupid, amen? Nobody got nothing to be ashamed about. Amen. We're all so proud of our lives. Amen. We've all done such a good job. Well, I ain't done such a good job all the time. Amen. I made a mess of things. As a Christian, I made a mess of things.
Yeah.
I made a mess in my life, and I made a mess in my home, and I made a mess at my job, and I made a mess in the ministry. And I've had problems. I've made mistakes, amen. And I could give you 1,000 reasons maybe to be ashamed, amen. Why he could be ashamed of me, but I got one good reason. I got one good reason. It's better than all those reasons. One good reason why he can't be ashamed of me, because he said so.
Amen.
And no matter what I go through, no matter what it looks like, amen, he said, I'm not ashamed. Hallelujah. He said, I'm not ashamed to call him brethren. Amen. Jesus calls him, oh my. The Lord Jesus himself says, that's my brother. He's one of mine. I'm not ashamed of him. He's not ashamed of me. I'll stand. If he stands before men, I'll stand before my father. He's not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. To think of my life, to think of the things I've gone through, and to think of the things I've done, all the reasons I could be ashamed, but he says, I'm not ashamed of you. Why not, Lord? What makes it so great? Because I did the sanctifying. He that does the sanctifying is one with he that sanctifies. Is that right? Look, it wasn't your works. It wasn't your idea. But that's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah, to think the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful to eradicate every sin, to eradicate every mistake, to eradicate every failure, amen? Look, he didn't just pay for sins 2,000 years ago. He paid for sins today. He paid for sins tomorrow. He paid for sins, hallelujah. He wiped everything off the book.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, my. So powerful is this blood of Jesus Christ. And you think about this, because in the Bible, under the blood of bulls and goats, they parted the Red Sea. They spoke to the sun, it stood still. This is under the blood of bulls and goats, which could not remit sin, the Bible says. It could only cover. But this blood is so great. Look, it's greater than just parting a sea. Oh my, it's greater than just stopping the sun. It's the power to say, that's my brother. That's a son of God. That's a daughter of God. Sometimes we don't think about it, but that's a greater thing. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
That a holy God who's never sinned, who's never failed, who knows the beginning from the end, he has angels that fly in his presence and they have to cover their face with their own wings. So holy and so great and so tall and high is God that the angels that never did sin have to hide their faces. And yet God would so reconcile us. God would so remit your sin at Calvary through the blood of Jesus Christ. When you were out in sin, when you were out in adultery, when you were out in fornication, when you were a liar, and you were a cheater like Jacob, and all these things, and you were the last person maybe that people thought could ever be saved. But God, rich in mercy, he predestinated you under the adoption of sons, hallelujah. He predestinated you to be holy and blameless before him, that you could stand in a place where even the angels, don't dare to go. You can stand before the face of God.
Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin that we might be the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Look, he didn't just clean it up or wash it up. He has imparted to you eternal life, God's own life. Amen. My, oh, my. Oh. Ram says this. This is a little longer reading. If I could just read it, is this all right this morning? He says this. He says this in the identified masterpiece of God. Amen. I think this is powerful. He says this is, I'm identified with him in his death. I died with him when he died at Calvary. That's what Paul says. Is that right? We're crucified with Christ. When he raised Christ up, we raised with him. Now, we talk about Christ being predestinated, but think about this. You're just as predestinated as Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We say, oh, how can you say that? Because when he died, his purpose was you in him. You died with him. Amen. That's why he died. So you were in him. You were predestinated in him to die with him and to raise again. Is that right?
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. Look, he didn't just raise again, amen, but he sat down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, we have been made to sit down together with him. Oh, my. So many people are trying to sit down on the throne. I'm already sitting there, he said. Is that right? Look, you are just as predestinated to it. That's why he came.
Yes, sir.
My, he says here, I rose again on Easter morning with him. The power of his resurrection. I'm a witness of it tonight. Right. I died with him at Calvary, raised with him on Easter. Hallelujah. He says, to be a part of him, I have to be identified with him. I'm identified with him in his death. I'm identified with him in his suffering. I was identified with him when the denominations turned him out. I was identified with him when they run him out of the temple, when they tried to throw him, get rid of him. I was there in his death. Raised with him in his resurrection. Now he goes on like this. He says, and I was with the 120 when they climbed into the upper room. Is that right? If you're identified with the Spirit of Christ, then everything that Spirit has done, you're identified with it. Is that right? My, oh, my. In other words, let me say it this way. If you'd have been there on the day of Pentecost, there would have been 121. Is that right? You'd have been 121 or 22 or however many we got here today. Is that right? If you'd have been there as a son of God, you'd have seen the same thing because the same Spirit would have... Look, it has to happen.
Yes, Lord.
Look, you can't get away from it. Look, he sent his spirit to you. You didn't go get his spirit. He sent his spirit to you, amen. And every day and every age, he sends his spirit to his children to make sons and daughters of God, amen. He sends his spirit. Hallelujah. Oh my. 121, I like that. The Bible says that before he ascended, he was seen of 500 witnesses. Is that right? But only 120 made it to the upper room. So there's a group of people that were going to go to the upper room, and there's a group of people that weren't going to be at the upper room. Is that right? But look, if you were there, you'd have been one of them people says, I'm going to go. Amen. The Holy Ghost is for me. Tarry ye for the promise of the prophet Joel. Is that right? My, oh my.
Amen.
He says, yes, sir, I witnessed that rushing mighty wind from heaven. I spoke tongues with the anointing on the day of Pentecost. I was there because I'm identified with him. He says, that's right. I preached with Peter in Acts 2. I preached with Paul on Mars Hills before the critic. Amen. I think of Paul standing trial, standing there before Agrippa and Felix and all of them, saying, you know what? In the way they call heresy, I do worship the God of my fathers, believing all that was spoken of the law and the prophets. Is that right? Look, you're identified with that.
Amen.
That's right. You're identified with Christ. Is that right? He said, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, what are they going to say about you?
Amen.
Look, you're identified with his reproach. Is that right? Look, Christ wasn't a popular figure. He's not a popular figure today. Is that right? But if you're a Christian, all the reproach and all the world hates about it, you're identified with that because that life is in you. That spirit is in you. Amen? My, oh my. So I was with John on the Isle of Patmos. I saw the vision of his coming. I was with Luther in the Reformation. I was with Wesley. He said, here I am in Yuma, Arizona. I'm identified tonight, he says, here in this Stardust Motel with a group of people who believe the same thing. And we're seated together. Amen. Seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
My. He says, I'm looking for his coming in glory. Some of these days, identify with him. And he quotes that poem. He says, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. Someday he's coming, a glorious day. He says, I'm now identified in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not something out here on the street. Something 40 years ago. See, that's what people do. They identify with something that used to happen. They identify with something in the past. The only thing I'm identified with is the crucifixion and the resurrection. Amen. I'm identified with Christ. Amen. Well, our group, our people, our this, my family, my this, that has nothing to do with it. My family's the family of God. Amen. I'm not identified with something that somebody else did out there. I'm identified with what Christ has done. Amen. He says, I have it right now.
Yes, sir. Yes,
indeed. Well, if we could just have what them disciples had. I've been to churches like that.
Yeah.
I preached to one overseas. Well, if we had what them disciples had, we'll get the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You've got what the disciples had. Amen. That's the same thing they had. Is that right? My, oh my. And people make it like it's magic or something. Well, it might seem magic to the untrained. Amen. It's the power of God. Hallelujah. My, oh my. I have it right now, the glory and the power of God, the forgiveness of sins. I see him heal the sick, open the blind eyes, seen him foretell things, reach the hearts of the people. I'm identified with him in his ministry at this day. Glory to God. Is that right? Look, Christ didn't stop ministering. Amen. That's what the book of Acts is all about. It's Christ in the church by his spirit. Is that right? And he is here today. His spirit is here today. And he's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Look, I don't heal the sick. I don't open the blinded eyes, but he does in his people, amen? That's the secret, amen? That's what the world misses. They missed it in his day. They miss it today. Oh, well, tell us how you do these things. Tell us by what name you do these things. It was God all along, the same God.
Amen.
Oh, how they venerated Moses and the law, and the same God that gave it to them was standing right there.
Amen.
The same God was right there, and they missed it. He was identified by Moses himself.
Sure.
He was identified through the prophets. The prophets prophesied of him, and there he was, and they missed it.
Yes.
My. He says, I'm identified with him with the deliverance of this last days. I'm trusted to be part of that great bride that's coming some of these days. He says, no matter what the world may say, they may call us crazy, hysterical, Beelzebubs, heretics, whatever they want to be, I still want to be identified with that group.
Amen.
You know, that's why a lot of people don't want to be identified as Christians nowadays.
Right.
Because you see all the nonsense that goes around with it.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, the media, look, I'm just going to tell you now, if you're a Christian, the news is not going to say something nice about you. Amen.
That's right.
The Congress ain't going to have something nice to say about you. The president ain't going to have something nice to say about you. A lot of the people you probably work with and stuff ain't going to have something nice to say about you. Amen. If you're in this because you want people to say nice things about you, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong business. Amen. Amen. If you want people to speak well of you, don't be a Christian.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. That's the truth. Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Is that right? Look, there's always a reproach that comes with the word. Is that right? There's always a reproach that comes with Christ. And it's not always going to make you popular. And the funny thing is, the world will say that's what makes you spiritual. When people like you and you love everybody.
Come on.
And everybody likes you. That makes you successful. That makes you spiritual. That makes you about as carnal as any other lodge. Amen. That has nothing to do with God.
Amen.
Amen. My, oh my. He said, I still want to be identified with that group. I'm still there. I'll remain there. I was born there. I want to stay there. I'll always be there because God placed me there. He said, I left my church to identify myself with a bunch of holy rollers. I'm one of them. I'm identified with them. They say, Billy, you lost your mind. And maybe I did, but I found the mind of Christ. I found His Word, found His presence, found that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't care what anybody else thinks about it. Oh my, he said, this is me. I'm the one that has to make my identification. I'm identified with Him by God's words. These signs follow them that believe. I'm glad I'm identified with that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. Maybe I did lose my mind, but I found the mind of Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Look, God has promised us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. This guy accused Brother Branham of losing his mind, and he's kind of right.
That's
right. Is that right? But I think it's funny because we live in a day and age where everybody's losing their mind.
That's right.
Look, in this day and age, everybody's losing their mind. The question is, what kind of a mind are you going to take on afterwards? Amen.
Amen.
Because this is a day and age, and Brother Bram talks about it. He says it in Oath and Not. He said he was reading Reader's Digest. He's reading about hybrid food. This is back before it was popular to talk about hybrid food.
Yeah.
Back before we had GMOs and gluten-free and everything else. Amen. This is back in 65. But he said hybrid food is what causes people, women are going into menopause earlier, it's affecting them. And he said the science of hybrid food affects people's bodies. Saying this almost 50-some years ago, and he says this, now watch the Spirit following it.
Yes, it.
Amen? Now we look at the natural, he says, but watch the Spirit following it. He says, it'll come to pass in the last days that people will go completely insane.
True.
Amen?
All right.
Is that right? You look at the book of Revelation, you look at how people act, is that right? People are, and look, let me say it this way. I don't think people are just going to go insane. I think people are going insane now.
That's right.
Amen. Well, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
You look at the perversion of our age. I was thinking of a story, and I was telling this a while back. My mom probably remembers it. I remember when I was a little child, we were watching the news one night at home, and there was a little baby. Some mother or something, she left this baby in a dumpster somewhere in the middle of the cold. Left a little baby to die in this dumpster and ran off and abandoned it. Somebody happened to come by, hear this baby crying. Somebody come and scoop this baby up, and they took it in. I don't know if they ever found the parents or whoever it was. Somebody abandoned their child in the cold, and I think 6 years old, little child, I looked at my mom, says, why would somebody want to get rid of their baby? It didn't make sense to me.
Right.
It's not supposed to make sense. Look, Jesus himself said that evil people love their own children.
Yeah.
He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more your father? It's unnatural for an evil person to hate their own child, and yet they're dying by the thousands of days in abortion clinics.
Right.
They're being abandoned all the time. They're being left to the slaughter all the time. It's unnatural. It's insane.
That's right. Yeah.
To look at that and say, well, that's just a group of cells. It's just this. And I'm on somebody's, I guess, it's like I always tell people, if I'm rubbing the cat the wrong way, turn around. Amen.
Right.
You sit here and kill this child and you act like there's nothing wrong with it. And it's murder. And it's reprobate.
Yeah.
And it's wicked. To say it's anything but murder, amen?
Right.
But people, they're going insane.
That's right.
My, oh my. They don't even care for their own natural children anymore, amen? I was looking the other day at the charts for like school shootings and how much has gone up. And I'm thinking, do bullets kill better now than they did 100 years ago? Right? I know guns get better, but this has gone up drastically. What is it? We want to blame manufacturers. We want to blame laws. People are going insane.
Amen.
Nobody can explain to me why they didn't used to, but they do it now. The reason is because they've cast off God.
Amen.
They want to kick God out of school.
Yeah.
They want to kick God out of the nation.
Right.
They want to kick God out of everything. And the only thing that's left is a reprobate mind, Paul said in Romans chapter 1. They've given themselves up to uncleanness, men with men and women with women, doing all these things. They know the judgment of God, the Bible says. They know what happens to the people that do these things, but yet they have pleasure in them anyway. They do it anyhow. It's a reprobate mind. People, they've lost their minds.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Well, that ain't popular. I didn't say it was. People have lost their minds. Amen. You can pass any kind of law. Look, you can ban abortion. Amen. People are still insane because they want to do it. They'll find a way to do it. Is that right? If people want to sin, they'll go find a way to sin. You can't outlaw sin. The law proved that. Amen. The law doesn't get rid of sin. Amen. If anything, it makes it worse. Oh my. But to change the nature of somebody to a child of God. Amen. I think of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 49, he says, can a suckling mother forget her own child? God asks the question to the prophet Isaiah. He says, can a suckling mother, can she forget her own child? And he says, even if she forgets, I won't forget thee. We live in a day and age where moms will leave their kids in a car with the windows up for hours and forget they have a baby in the car. Now they're making alarms to remind the moms that their kids are in the car. Well, get off your phone for 5 seconds and remember you're raising a child. That's a human being in the car seat back there. You can't leave that in the... And how do you forget about a child, a suckling child, long enough for them to die in a back seat? Can a mother do that? Well, even if she can. Hallelujah, God can't forget me. Amen. We live in a day and age where this is happening.
Amen.
Even a care for your own natural child. It's such a rarity, amen. But God said, I'm gonna show you what a real father's like. I'm gonna show people what a real daddy's like. I'm gonna care for my own. I'm gonna place them as sons. I'm not gonna leave them out in the cold. I'm not gonna forsake my children. I'm gonna raise up sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
I took when I was in college, I had to take several electives on the side for my thing. And I took a bunch of psychology. That turned out to be worthless. Amen. Don't have no place in the pulpit, I'll say that.
That's right.
Is that right? And the funny thing to me is psychology is totally subjective.
That's right. Yes, it is.
Amen. 100 years ago, if a woman walked down the street the way they do nowadays, wearing hardly nothing, they would throw her in the madhouse.
That's right.
Is that right? If you'd have forgot your child like that, they'd have said you were insane. If a man went and tried to be a woman or a woman tried to be a man, all this other nonsense, they'd have locked that person up. But nowadays, you're the crazy one.
Yes, that's right.
You're the one that's wrong. You're the one. Well, you've got a devil. See, now if they believed in devils, that's what they'd be saying. Well, you're possessed of a devil. That's why you're a hateful person. You're a bigot and you're hateful and you're mean. I believe God. Amen.
Amen.
That's the difference. Amen. And these are the same people that if they could, they'd crucify you.
That's right.
Let me say it this way. Not only could they do.
That's right.
Amen. They might kill you in the natural, but they'll kill you with your words. Amen. They'll kill your character and they'll assassinate your character and they'll say all kinds of things about you and they'll tear you down. Amen. Jesus said the time will come. They'll kick you out of synagogues. He said they'll kill you thinking they are doing God a service. Now, if that's not insanity, what is?
Amen.
They think they're doing God a favor by putting you out, calling you all kinds of things. Well, you shouldn't preach that way. You shouldn't talk about that.
Come on, brother. Amen.
That's how it's the same thing they did to Peter and John. Well, we charge you. Don't preach anymore in this name. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge you.
Amen. Right.
Amen. At the end of the day, I'm accountable to God. Amen.
Amen.
I like that because Jesus said, but don't worry, not one hair on your head will be hurt.
Yes,
I thought they were killing me. What do you mean? He says, not one hair on your head. Look, God's not lost one. Amen.
Amen.
Look, if they tear this body down, God's just going to raise it right back up.
Yes.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. Is this all right today? I hope.
What a word. Thank you, Lord.
I want to close with this thought here. Amen. The church in the church age book, he says this. He makes a statement. He says the cloudy skies and storms of life are no sign of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. His approval of us, of any of us, is only in the beloved.
Yes, Lord.
His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so. And if you're a real son or daughter of God, if you're mature, amen, you're not worried about what other people say anymore about you. You're not worried about your feelings. You do it because God said so.
Amen.
You preach it because God said so.
That's right.
Well, I feel sick. Well, the Bible says with his stripes you're healed. Well, I don't feel healed. Well, God said so.
That's right.
And I'm going to say what God said because what I said don't matter anyway. Amen?
Right.
Look, God help us to get to such a place. We stop worrying about our feelings and our opinions and our thoughts and other people's opinions and just say, because this is what God said.
Amen.
I'm going to say because God said so.
That's right.
Sure. Well, it might offend somebody, but God said so.
That's right. Amen.
Woe unto them that are offended to me, he said. Is that right? Yes. Woe if you offend one of these little ones, he said. Look, everybody's so worried about being offended, they should be worried about offending us.
Come on now.
Jesus said, it'd be better for you to have a millstone put around your neck and cast into the sea. Is that right? Now look, I'm not telling you to go out and get offended by everybody this afternoon. Amen. Not telling you to have thin skin, amen. But I mean, we're so worried about people's feelings. What about what God says?
Amen. That's it.
He's the one that died for me. Look, these people can't save me. They're trying to vote somebody into office right now to save America.
That's right.
Everybody's this man. I'm not gonna name names now. Getting into politics here. But you look at people there, they're so fixed that this one man is going to fix it all.
Yeah.
Well, it took more than one man to mess it all up. Is that right? This one person is going to fix it all. There is one person that can fix it all. He ain't going to fix this. Amen, but he's going to build a new heavens and a new earth. Amen.
Yes.
Why I say this is sometimes people get so caught up, Christians get so caught up in politics and ideas about things. Look, I'm not building a kingdom here, and I'm not looking for it here. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about being irresponsible either, but I'm saying people get their hopes caught up in stuff. Let your hope be caught up in Christ. Amen? We shall know because he said so and manifested that he did love us, for he brought us to himself and gave us of his spirit, placing us as sons. Amen. Amen. That's how you know he loves you, because he said so and he gave you his spirit. Amen. And his spirit is the token of his love for you. Amen. Look, you might be going through a trial today. You might be going through something and you say, well, I don't know if God loves me anymore. Maybe I made God mad. Maybe I've offended God. Maybe I've sinned away my day of grace. Look, if you're a son of God, you can't get away from it. Amen. Look, a servant doesn't abide forever, but Jesus said, a son abides in the house forever. Amen. Look, if you're a son of God, you're always going to be a son of God. You might make a mistake. Look, Daddy ain't going to kick you out for that. You'll always be a son of God. You belong to him. That's why he gave you his spirit. Amen. And so many people, they've got so many other things they look at. But his spirit is what he's given. Amen.
Yes.
Don't look at these other things. The Holy Ghost in the believer. That's what makes sons and daughters act like sons and daughters. That's where your earnest comes from. That's your inheritance. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
People got some sort of a big mega church. They got 50,000 people out there in the auditorium. And they say, look how much God loves me. But if the Apostle Paul come into their church to preach, they'd have him out on his ear in five minutes. Say, we don't take that kind of preaching here.
That's right. Absolutely.
We don't accept that kind of preaching here. This is the Apostle Paul. Is that right?
Amen.
Oh, my.
Amen.
Did the same thing to Jesus. Is that right? The very one that wrote the Torah by the Spirit. Is that right? The very finger of God.
Sure.
They kicked him out. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
If we're not careful, sometimes we look at trials that we go through. We look at where we're at. The world might say we're unsuccessful. Politics might say you're unsuccessful. They might say you're stupid. They might say you're ignorant. They might say there's nothing to that. And if you're not careful, you get discouraged by that. Amen. But God says he loves you. Well, how do I know? Because he said so. Amen. He gave you his spirit. Amen. Look, a lot of people can say that God loves them. Is that right? The rich young ruler, Jesus loved the rich young ruler. But look, God proved his love for you, his election for you, because he gave you his spirit. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Today what we need is the spirit of God.
Yes.
What we need to depend on today is the spirit of God.
Amen.
So many people, they get caught up. It's funny, even in Brother Branham's meetings, and you see the same thing through the scripture. There'd be a woman come in, she'd be a prostitute or something like that, just come off the streets. And she'd come and she'd get healed, and you'd have somebody, oh, I've been to church for 30 years. And I've done this and I've done that. And they'd come up and they'd get prayed for and nothing happened. They were depending on their works.
Right.
But this woman, she didn't know no better, but she was depending on God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So many times we get caught up in trying to like our testimony is going to move God.
Yeah, exactly.
Like our testimony is going to save us. Look, God give you your testimony. Amen.
Yeah,
You don't have nothing whereof to brag on yourself. Is that right? There's no flesh that's going to glory in his presence. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
It's his spirit in us. Yes. That's your testimony today.
Yes,
amen.
Lord. Amen.
The saints in the book of Revelation says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen.
Yes,
the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful today for blood that remits all those sins, that we might present a people unto Christ. Perfect. People that they know who they belong to, amen.
Right, sure.
They're not just baby Christians, amen, but God can use them. They're yielded to God. God lives in their homes.
Amen.
God teaches us how to parent our children, amen. God teaches us how to conduct ourselves. God teaches us how to do things. It's like Andrew was talking about this morning, whether you're a preacher or not or whatever, you have gifts in your life. You have a purpose. God has purposed something in your life, amen. But it takes God to come. Look, I can't tell you how to do it. Amen. At the end of the day, I can't tell you what your purpose is. And I can't tell you how to do it. I can't tell somebody how to preach or tell somebody how to prophesy. But look, God can show you.
That's right.
And if you rely on the Spirit of God, God can take sons and daughters. And it's just like Jesus. He said, don't you know I'm about my Father's business?
Amen.
My meat's to do the will of my Father. He said, is that right?
Yes, Lord.
God can take people and we can be less about our business and more about his business.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Because look, his business is what saves souls.
Amen. Right.
Amen. His business is what changes lives. Amen.
Yeah.
My business won't do it.
Right.
My idea won't do it. I can't help you in your home.
Yeah.
I can't help you in your family. I can't help you at your job. Amen.
Right.
He can.
Amen.
How many believes that today?
Yes,
stand to our feet.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you. My desire as a minister, as Paul said, is to see people presented perfect.
Yes.
You know, you see people and they're in a place in their life and we're all learning, amen. I'll be the first to admit it, I'm still learning things.
Yes.
I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Oh, yes.
I'm still learning, amen.
Amen.
I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Yes.
And what we want is people that are willing to learn, amen. Some people were complacent with salvation. They're complacent with the Word of God. Let's learn from Him.
Yes, Lord.
Let's take up His yoke. His easy and His burden's light. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I think of, as I close, you want to play that softly, Learning to Lean? I think of Sister Mita asked Brother Brand one time, she said, what's a soul worth, Bill? What is that worth to God? He said, it's worth more than 10,000 worlds to God, amen? To think that one soul causes the angels in heaven to rejoice. You know, if I won the lottery today, the angels probably wouldn't be too excited about it. You know, if I got a new Ferrari or something, that probably wouldn't move them too much. But to think what one soul is worth to God.
Yes, Lord.
What ought it to be worth to us? And if there's something if I could just yield myself to God in some way. I ain't some great big something. I got a million people coming in and this and that or whatever. But just to see one soul saved today.
Yes, Lord.
You don't have to be here. It could be anywhere. I think of the people. Ezekiel talked about an angel went through the city, the holy city. And he marked those at sight and cried for the abominations of the people. And he preserved them from judgment. I think how we get so busy with things in our life. We get so caught up and distracted, but where's that burden that we used to have just to see a soul saved? Just to see somebody get helped, amen? Have we gotten cold on God? Does that matter to us anymore? If I don't do nothing else in my life, if I could just see one more soul saved, it'd be all worth it to me, amen? We might have to go through desert places and wander and be in sheepskins and deserts. One soul is worth it to God.
Yes.
That one soul, it's worth more than all the money in the world.
Yes.
See one soul saved.
Yes.
Is it worth it to us today?
Yes.
God help us. God help us to be a witness to somebody. Maybe one person. Maybe we'll only have a chance to touch one person in our whole life. God help us to be yielded to you, that God can speak to that person at that time. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's somebody you don't even know who it is. My desire is to present every man perfect in Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Let's pray, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Lord, today I ask for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Lord, so many things that we could say right now, but I want to say what you said about us, that you chose us and you accepted us. Lord, some days I don't feel like I'm chosen. Some days I don't feel very holy. But your word said it, and that's good enough for me. Lord God, your word has called us to a ministry of reconciliation. That souls that are adrift far away from you, oh God, you might take children of God and reconcile them into your house and call them sons and daughters and give them your spirit. Lord, what greater thing could you give a man than his salvation? What greater thing could you do for us than to redeem us out of a life of sin and death? Lord, we don't deserve anything but hell and condemnation, but you've given us an inheritance. You've given us something greater than anything our minds and our imaginations could ever purpose. And you looked at us and said, that's not who they are anymore. But I've declared they're holy. I've declared they're without blame. I've accepted them. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm going to give them my inheritance. I've given them a place in my kingdom. God, I'm thankful today. Lord, such marvelous things you've given us. Lord, how they're not worthy. How our afflictions in this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory to be revealed in us, to the things that you've given us. Oh God, if there be one today, there be one today far away from you, oh God. May they look unto you now, the author and finisher of our faith. May they look and see what good things you've prepared for us. You bless us with every spiritual blessing. You've said only good things about your people. You've blessed them like none other. You've washed them in the blood of your own Son. They're paid for and they're bought with a price. No man could muster up enough money to pay for it. No work could be done to earn it. But it's the gift of God. It's the gift of God, eternal life. Oh, to be an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Lord, what greater thing could you give us? Behold, as the Apostle John said, we are now the sons and daughters of God. Lord, help your people today. Help us just to yield to you more and more. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Lord, we're not looking to try to present some work to you today to merit something. We just desire to see somebody helped along the way. Somebody helped me along the way one day. Somebody met me in my need. God, we just want to see you help somebody in need today. Lord, we know there's needs today. We know there's a need today in the people's lives. Oh, God. Lord, I believe there's still mercy for us. I believe there's still mercy for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
We love you, Lord. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name.
To lean.
what it's like to suffer with infirmity. Lord, you know what it's like to be tempted. You know what it's like to be in pain, oh God. I think of the psalmist. He said, oh God, remember our frame, that we are but dust. Oh God, remember our frail bodies today. Lord, though you've given us so much, oh God, remember the frailty of our humanity. Have mercy on us, oh God. You see this sister coming today, oh God. Her body's in pain, but she's counted it all lost that she might come. She might come and stand in a gap for those in need, oh God, because there's a desire in her for salvation for those that she knows, those in her family, souls that are in peril, oh God, in the darkness of this world. Lord, may they see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May they come home to a loving Father that's prepared a place for them in His kingdom. Lord, what you've prepared for us is greater than anything the world could offer us. Oh God, may you give eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart, oh God. May you break up the fallow ground of their heart to receive life and abundance, oh God, eternal life. Oh Lord, as you see her desire, have mercy and grace upon us now, God. How we need today your grace. How we need today your mercy, oh God. How we're lost without it, oh God. Lord, we cling to you, oh Lord. We thank you because we know that you're faithful.
Yes, Lord.
We know that you are faithful, God. Has Sarah judged you faithful, Lord, so we can say that you've been faithful to keep every promise.
Yes.
Lord, I'm a witness that you keep every word.
Yes.
Lord, you've never broken a promise. You never lied to me once, oh God. You never let me down one time. I know you're faithful, and I know you're true. Bless her, we pray, oh God. Bless this family. Help their need, oh Lord, for they need you, Lord. No one else can do it but you, Lord. May we have a time of rejoicing with the angels, knowing that salvation has visited this home. Bless them with your presence, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Lord, hallelujah.
Go and do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, according to his favor, behold, I bless you. He doesn't know, oh God. He's been cast into a situation of life, not of his own choosing, not something that he asked or desired, oh God. Lord, there's so many children like this today, in a situation like that. But Lord, I thank you for this child. There's a special blessing on him. There's a believer that can stand in the gap for him. Lord, you appointed, you predestinated a believer into his life that could stand and intercede in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that he wouldn't have to be carried by the winds of this world, that he wouldn't be at the mercy of the enemy. Lord, but you predestinated a salvation. You predestinated a way of escape, oh God. Lord, I'm thankful today, Lord. You allotted a mercy to him that he wouldn't have to be caught up in these things. Lord, you could give him peace, soundness of mind, give him peace in his heart. Bless him and touch him. Help him to love and to serve you faithfully, Father, and not be carried about by the winds of this world. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name.
according to your faith it's going to be. Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Satan, you're an offense to us.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for
this is property. God's property.
Yes, Lord.
She's been bought with a price.
Glory.
You have no rights to this, this child of God. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave this body right now. I command sickness to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak life into this body from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. May every sickness and every disease leave in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Behold, in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, sister, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Go believing. Go believing in the name of Jesus.
I'll sing with all our hearts now.
Thank you, Lord.
Of the Holy Spirit up here at the front. Hallelujah. Why would anyone in this room stay in bondage to the devil today? Pray you've got eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit's doing and not just men in a building. But the word that we've prayed for, the word that we've looked for is here amongst us. Don't harden your hearts as they did in the provocation. Don't get to where God can't move on you no more. Don't get so stuck in your own ideas that you can't admit that you're wrong and the word's right. Don't play games in this time. It's too late. What are souls asking for? You're not asking amiss. You're asking, we want to be right with God, or I want my family right with God. I don't want to see the devil getting us in bondage anymore. And God has been faithful to answer your prayers. Hallelujah. Can you soften yourself enough? Can you open up your heart enough to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you now. I'm going to trust what you said about me. I'm not going to identify with the bondage that Satan's put me in. But I'm going to identify that you're my deliverer today. And I don't have to stay this way. I can be set free. Can you get the faith to raise up and accept that for yourself? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, what's that hand mean, Brother Andrew? What does it mean to raise my hand? That could be a difference between life and death. Everyone knows raising your hands means you surrender. And that's what you're here to do today, is surrender it to the Lord Jesus. That takes trust. It takes faith to say, Lord, I let go of my hands on my life, my situation, but I give it to you, Lord. If you don't know whether you got the Holy Ghost or not, this isn't to live a day in that kind of a condition. You need to know that you've got the real Spirit of God, that you've got the goods. You can't earn it. You've got to accept it. And God will witness it in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody's looking for the other sinner. What about us? What about you, brother, sister? Where are you at? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We believe in the moving of the Spirit here. We don't got a program or plan. Let me see and flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Worship Him now. Say, Lord, I'm praying this. Flow through me, the Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, as I lift my hands in worship and to my Thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Open up your heart and sing now. Mean it with everything that's in you. Through me, Holy Spirit, flow. Worship Him now. Forget about everyone else. Oh, as I lift my hands in worship, He's here. And to magnify Thy name. Thank you, Lord. Flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow. Thank you, Lord. Oh, flow through me. In the name of Jesus Christ, right of Lord. Thank you, Lord. Flow through me. Flow through me. Holy Spirit. Don't be distracted. Think on Him now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As I lift my hands in worship and to magnify Thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. One more time, all together, just like that. Thank you, Lord. Flow through me. Oh. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Oh, as I lift my hands in worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment your own way. Go ahead and worship the Lord and praise His name today. Praise your glorious name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for speaking to us today, Lord. Thank you for your word from on high, Father. Thank you for doing what no man can do, your delivering power, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Oh, Father. Father, may we be able to present these souls perfect before you. Lord Jesus, may you honor our prayers, Lord. May the word take preeminence, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for hearing us, Lord Jesus. Oh, I praise you, Lord, and thank you so much for everything. Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Spirit today. How many's heard from heaven? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's atmospheres like this. I think of the prophet's ministry. And how could they even stop the service when you feel the Holy Spirit all throughout the building just moving around? Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Hallelujah. He's God. He's called Emmanuel. Go ahead and play Dad. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank God for being here with us this afternoon.
His name is called,
and He's still Emmanuel today.
Oh, Emmanuel.
He's God with us.
He's God with us.
But He's revealed in us. Yes, Lord.
Revealed in us. His name.
Believe that. Let's raise our hands, close our eyes. Say, Emmanuel, I worship you today.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
That's His presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father.
His name is called.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name today, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
thank God for speaking to us today.
Yes.
And it helps, you know, as a pastor, you're with the people, you know a little bit more than what maybe a man of God coming through does. But we know, those of you've been here service after service, the Holy Spirit's just reiterating the same things, the same. That just shows. I mean, Brother Alex, don't compare notes. Just to let you know, before he gets up here and preaches, the Holy Spirit knows what we need to hear.
Amen.
Sure.
I believe he's spoken from on high today. I'll say it like this. If you're still in bondage, and I could discern a little bit, I don't mean to act super spiritual. You can just tell if somebody's free or not. But you shouldn't have been. You should have been free today.
Amen.
You can go free. Because the presence of God can break every yoke.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I love when I see a soul get enough faith, just that little mustard seed, that's all you need. But make sure it's real.
Amen.
That, Lord, I'm really coming to you. Lord, I'm really believing your promise. And Lord, I'm not going to look at anything else. What you said is true about this, and I accept it. The gates of hell can't prevail against that.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I thank God for speaking. I appreciate our brother Alexander coming. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless him. God bless his family. Brother Chuck and Magula's family. I don't, who's this? What's your name, brother?
It's Fillmore.
Fillmore?
Was, from the church we are.
Amen. Well, it's good to have you with us today, brother.
On my way to Holgate.
Oh, I see. Just miles.
I basically stop on the way.
That's right. This ain't a bad place to stop in the house of God. So, praise the Lord. It was good to have you all, and respecting the Lord and things. Praise the Lord for that. And all over that was here, how many just appreciates the Lord Jesus? I just can't say it enough, can you? Thank you, Jesus. Give him praise one more time. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll sing some songs here. I like thinking about heaven. So what will it be when we get over yonder? If you don't know, it's 560. I'll be handing the service over to Dad here. You can be dismissed if you need to. If you want to stay in worship, go ahead and stay in worship. If you do go out there, let's try to be quiet for those that stay in the service for a little bit. If you want to talk, I think it's nice enough to go ahead and head on outside. We all got coats. We'll be okay. So God bless you, saints. We love you. May the Lord be with you.
We'll join our loved ones. Thank you, Lord. Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me.
Yes, Jesus.
Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea? We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea? We're gonna join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven. Join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven is.